holiday travel season, the Transportation Department announced it has helped to get $600 million back for airline travelers who were wrongly denied refunds for canceled or significantly changed flights. The news comes after a summer of chaos at many airports. Between June and August, more than 45,000 flights were canceled. Nearly a quarter of all trips were delayed by 15 minutes or more. Tight scheduling, staffing shortages, bad weather, all contributed to the problem. Join us now.
So we're getting some money back, people.
Are we getting money back?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how does that work. I mean, I don't know. What do you go into like? But I think that's cool. This is what the Pete Buttigieg, Department of Transportation.
Oh yeah,
Pete Buttigieg. He's doing that. He's got you gonna give refund, which I think that's cool because a lot of the times, I mean, it's good for this because so solely is this six big airlines, which we all know the big ones, you know. And I like the fact that it's kind of like a fine, you know, kind of like, hey, man, you mess up with them. Like, it's kind of like helping the poor people or the little people to fucking, because, you know, airlines always change flights no matter how they want to. And it's kind of like,
I gotta tell you, I've had two of these situations in the last 3 months that I haven't got the refund for because it's so tedious. There's so many hoops to jump through.
Yeah.
You know, when I missed my flight in Austin when I was flying back from the UK. And that was due to staff shortages. I love the way it depends on what they blame it on, too. Is it staff shortages or weather or whatever? But they announced they're like giving us all refunds in hotels. And then all we had to do was line up at Austin Airport or whatever. But the queue to line up was like 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
It's like 11 p.m. at night. I still had
to get the hell out
and
of
I'm looking. I just called a friend in Austin and went and slept on his couch and then went back to the airport. So I got nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't get the vouchers or anything like that.
But that should not be the thing. You should just get the money back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, 100%.
Like, hey, you messed up, you get the money back, you know? Like,
yeah.
Especially, the only one that I care about or that I understand is definitely weather stuff. Hey, you know, like a tornado, whatever, it can't fly. I get it. Wind.
Yeah. But proper weather. Wind. Yeah.
No. I mean, look, I don't care I don't care if it's just a little bit of wind. Yeah. I don't give a
shit. Your pilot's hungover and the whole airline goes, don't worry, we'll blame it on the sunshine.
I'm good. I'll prefer that a million times that like I want my pilot to just be as happy as he can. Or she can, you know, like, I don't want it to be depressed. Like, I don't want to get in a pile and be like, my wife just left me. Yeah, you know what? I'm leaving you too, because I'm not taking this flight.
It'd especially be terrible if you start announce that.
They should
welcome
say
aboard,
that.
Everybody. It's a 2-hour flight to Miami today, and my wife just left me, so strap in.
Well, that's why they should actually give you like a little, you know how you go into like plays and, you know, Broadway, whatever, they give you like a little pamphlet of the little bio.
The playbill. Yeah.
Of like, they should give you that of the pilots and the flight attendants. So, because, I feel like he just got recently divorced or she just, I'm out. You know, like, thank you.
So funny. You want to know every detail about everybody involved.
Well, just give me the state of their, you know, social life. You know what I mean? I'm like, I want a pilot that's like, hey, I just had a kid. Yes. And
he needs a job.
And he's gonna be a good dad or a good mom. I'm like, hey, yeah, let's do it. You know, I want that pilot.
I mean, having a kid affects everybody in a different way.
Yeah, I don't want them. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You gotta have. But most of the times, it's like you want to live more because of that. I don't want the pilot that's like about to retire, or his wife left him, and he doesn't have any money, or he's a young pilot that's like. You know, has never had any social.
I like how you said about to retire is it sets you off like a Danny Glover, a Lethal Weapon.
Yeah,
situation.
When you're about to retire,
are you just being superstitious?
No,
he's about to retire. Some shit's gonna go wrong.
Of course, because when you that's a human nature thing. If you're in a job and you're about to retire, you're not. It's like the
you're
same
in
thing.
Trouble.
No, you don't give a shit about the job anymore, or you're about to quit. or you get fired, you don't give a shit about it anymore. I mean, we've all been there where
there's
it's like,
definitely
I don't
multiple
want...
ways to look at this.
So I don't want the pilot to be like, oh, this is my last flight. Who gives a shit? I'm not going to check the little thing that I have to check every day.
I love that you think of that's what pilots are like. They get through a whole career.
I want to have
that.
They get
through a whole career of successful flights, and then on their last one, they're like, you know what? I'll challenge myself on that. Might as well. It's my last run.
Well, they don't.
See if I can do it.
Why they not? Live their lives. They're old. They don't give a shit. Yeah, no. We should get a pilot here. It'd be great to have like a pilot. Because yeah. I would love to ask all these questions. Like, you know what I mean?
A retired pilot.
A retired pilot. Well, actually, like.
Who made it? Somebody who made it to the end.
I met a retired pilot when I was in Miami early this year. And what was the thing that he told me about? He said something about, or like. Well, he was telling me when. He was telling me that, you know that movie with Denzel?
Flight, where he flew the plane upside down, but he had a cocaine problem.
Yeah, he's an alcoholic and all. And he's like, the only true story about that movie, the only thing that really happens is him fucking the flight attendants. That's the only thing. He said everything else in terms of like the flying, whatever he did, that's bullshit.
That didn't happen?
That doesn't happen. That's movie stuff.
Oh, right, because it wasn't based on a true story?
No.
Oh, okay.
Then he said...
Because I knew the Sully one, you know.
No,
Sully
that Sully was, one is, yeah.
I didn't know Flight wasn't based on a true story.
No.
Oh, so it was just a glorified...
Yeah. But he was saying that the only true story that is him, is the pilots... Sleeping with the flight attendant. Yeah, obviously, that's like. That's
who I remember was the ultimate crush of the moment. She was the woman from My Name Is Earl. I can't remember her name now, but
you like
fantastic
her?
Actress.
It's the Denzel one.
Yeah, the Denzel one. That's pretty obvious. I mean,
so there you go, ladies and gentlemen. If you want the truth, just watch the first 10 minutes of the film.
Well, he's saying that's the only real part that happens in pilots.
You get to have sex with. Members?
Which it makes sense. I mean, like, you know, you're always flying, you're staying in the same hotels, you're doing, you know what I mean? Like, there's got to be, obviously, crossover.
Man, becoming a pilot must be the ultimate, like, nerd to hero kind of thing. Because you have to be, like, you know, because becoming a comedian is a little bit, you have to admit.
Nerd to hero. That should be your
pilot with game. That's an extra cool position to have. Extra game.
Yeah, the amount of education. Yeah, I mean, if you become really cool.
But the amount
of education that you need to get to become a pilot and stuff and then get laced. Because let's admit it, like, comedians are big nerds too. But somehow when a comedian reaches that evolution and becomes a good comic, they seem cool on stage.
Yeah.
But to be honest, they're all nerdy guys who couldn't.
So you're a nerdy guy? Is that what you're saying?
I was full nerd. Of course. I was a complete nerd.
So that's
nerd.
The name
I'm
of your book.
I'm still a nerd. Look at me. I'm wearing a reference to Wayne and Garth.
Nerd!
On my shirt. And an MTV hat. You think I'm not a fucking nerd?
That is true. Oh, now that I realize what that t-shirt is, that's the coolest shirt of all time.
Oh, but you're a nerd too? Nerds.
Pretending not to be a nerd. Listen to this guy.
I'm like, remember that movie, the 80s movie, Revenge of the Nerds?
But you're the bully.
Nerds!
More than anything, I remember Wayne's
You're a
world.
Bully that becomes a comedian? Is that what you're
no,
saying?
No, I was a nerd in disguise. I had like the glasses. But
I think comedians are generally nerds.
But I don't feel like I was never like a nerd. I was just like my dad dressed me up like a nerd, you know, but like I wasn't a nerd.
Right.
I think because after I lose the glasses, I was like, oh yeah, I'm not a nerd. I'm like the ugly duckling.
But Wayne's World is just one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah, man.
That doesn't make you a nerd.
Well, that's the thing.
No, but I mean, comedians, I mean, come on.
Also,
don't stop pretending that you guys don't understand what it takes to be an entertainer. You don't just drift into it because you're fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You usually come to it because you're a nerd who doesn't have a lot of his attention occupied by women in the first place. So you have time to spend learning a skill. Magicians, nerds.
But there's got to be exceptions of like people that were not nerds.
Yeah,
ever.
Models. Brad Pitt.
Or Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah, Leo DiCaprio. Those guys. It doesn't matter. Yeah, some actors were never nerds.
But my thing is
at any point.
By the way, this is a good question. Like, because everything has changed now. Are they any more nerds now? Because nerds now became like there's no nerds now. I feel like.
Oh, you mean because it got what's it? When you take up the word, they took the word away because cool people did start calling themselves nerds.
Yeah,
a few years ago.
Geeks. There's still geeks called that? Like in high school.
They appropriated the term.
Yeah. But cool I feel people. Like there's no.
I remember seeing that. I used to talk about that with Jim Jeffries mm-hmm. actually, who's you know because he's a musical theater nerd. You know, even though now he's a brash.
Yeah.
Hard hitting comedian or whatever.
Yeah.
But we talk about those things like we come from nerddom.
Yeah.
And that's
stuff
ours. But sometimes we have seen cool people up on stage and stuff saying like, you know, because I'm a nerd too. And we were always thinking, no, you're not a nerd. It's cool. It's cool to call yourself a nerd now.
Which also I think that's what I think everybody should just be. One thing that I feel that what's cool to me, what's cool is when you are who you really are. If you're like a little nerdy, a little geek, a little like, you know, jock or whatever it is, to me, that's what cool is. Is when somebody tries not to be who they really are naturally, that's to me, that's when you're like, you're just being like, I don't like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine if you like, you know, I don't know, Star Wars, whatever, that's your thing, you know, or if you like, you know, football or whatever, like, do that. But it's when you're trying to be like, to me, like, you know, which I feel it's a little bit like what Elon Musk is doing now, where he's like, I feel like he's somebody who's always kind of like semi-nerdy, obviously, because, you know, he invented all that stuff. And now he's trying to be like cool.
Right.
And I'm like, that's where I go, like, that's never good.
And you think he's being found out?
No, I don't think he's found out. I think it's obvious that he's, but it's like, it's when you're like, well, I'm cool now.
Right.
And I'm like, no, you're always gonna be that person who you are.
Yeah.
And it's fine. It's cool. Yeah. That's what got you there. But now don't try to change this because this is where, you know, it becomes like bad when you're like like when you become an asshole pretty much. Because then you're like, wait, you're not liking me because I'm cool now. It's like, no, it doesn't matter if you got money.
That's true too. A lot of nerds don't know how to handle being cool when they get the cool popularity twist, and they get found out really quick. You know, in high school, I was cool for about 2 weeks before people.
I love that there's like an actual limit to it. Like it's fire.
Like, 100%.
They're like somebody like, hey, JJ, you got one more week.
Yeah.
It's like a movie.
Oh, I know the moment.
So what happened? What happened?
Okay, so I had just moved. I'm a military kid, right? So growing up in the military,
nerd.
we moved a lot. So we moved a lot. So. Which kind of, I always say, that helps you develop as a comedian.
Because
you learn to make a couple jokes and get away before you get your face punched in. Right? But we moved from Nova Scotia to British Columbia at one point. It was grade 9 or grade 10. And I was like the new kid in town. And I was, you know, tall, skinny. I was coming off a broken leg as well. So I was a little bit weak. But, you know, but I was able to dress nice enough that... people, women, like the popular girl at school was curious about me and stuff like that. So I seemed cool for about the first 2 weeks. But some of the cool guys, they didn't like me. And they did not like that this girl liked me. So they were quick to like start to test me and try to bully me a little bit. And eventually, at about halfway through my second week, one of the cool guys challenged me to a fight. Like I was not getting along with them. I wasn't able to be as cool as them. So to the rest of the class and stuff, or the rest of the students in the school, I seemed cool, but that facade got chewed up by the cool guys who eventually, by the end of week two, I was bullied and pushed down and punched and had a couple so of rumors and like, stories going. Well, I got the attention of girls at first until they realized.
But you actually got the whole, like, actually, like, what movies is where they show, like, the guy getting bullied and push and punch?
Oh, I think that's 100% real, a real true story.
So it happened to you?
I think all military kids have.
I never had like that. I never got, like, punch or, like.
Well, you told me that you got bullied a bit when you moved, when you came to America.
You have very rose-tinted glasses when you need them, Francisco. I exaggerated a little bit for the stand-up, but, like.
Oh, so now you're cool.
No, I... Well, One guy was like said like a racist thing, the speech yeah. thing when like you know when I talk about it like, but it was but I never got but it was never like I was never like every day like I never got pushed, I never got anything physical happened to me,
no.
and nothing like that. No, it was very so that's my thing. I never experienced that luckily
right.
of like me getting, and but it did happen to me too where I also became. Like where I became cool or like just changed my appearance when I told you, like, because I think freshman year I still had the glass and stuff like that. And then like during the summer after the beginning, before the sophomore year, I changed my glasses. I put contacts on.
Right.
And then I think I also cut my hair. So a little, and then I remember when I, you know, everybody was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So then it's like, it wasn't like I was like the cook, but obviously girls started noticing more. And I like, cause I was never like, to me, I was always in, especially in high school, I was like very like, I was liked by every group. I never belonged to any group.
I feel that I was a bit of that.
But I was like liked by every group, but I also wasn't like the nerd either, you know what I mean? Or like the coolest kid in there. Like I wasn't a jock either.
Right.
But I was like, which also was very, I realized that when I was even more popular than I thought when I was like, I got, you know, those superlatives that you get at the end of the year, like most likely. To do, you know, you get that.
Yeah, what did you get?
I got most likely to be like in TV or a soap opera or something like that. I was like so surprised.
That sounds pretty popular, man.
That's what I mean. I was so surprised. It was like, because this is a private school that was like pretty much public. It was like, you know, I think like 200 kids in the yeah. class, you know, it's a big school, you know. So it's like, I was very surprised. I was like, really? I remember I was like, wow, like, I didn't know.
Look at that. He's popular, cool, and humble. Ladies and gentlemen, Francisco Ramos.
That's what it means to be cool, everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're just reminding me. I feel
like this is like the ending of a Nickelodeon show. And that what it means, or like a Disney movie. And that's what it means to be cool.
So I can't associate with all the nerds out there.
And then it goes to like, Francisco. You're a dad now. What? Oh, and that's the sex sequel of like, whoa, cool dad. Wow, that's right. You're right.
That's a healthy cough, I got.
Fuck.
All of a sudden.
Cool dad.
Yeah, but, no, I rebooted every summer. Every summer I would return to high school with probably a good tan, healthy look. Because I played basketball.
Oh, that's right.
You know, I played, you know.
So how come if you play basketball, you weren't like a big nerd either? I mean, because.
You can still be pretty nerdy and play sports, man. You know, sports.
Not basketball.
Yeah.
Badminton.
No, believe it or not,
or chess. If,
any
like, if
sport
you're in,
has a lot of curfews and takes a lot of discipline.
But I'm saying, like,
you're not out partying and drinking. You're not one of the cool guys smoking pot and
But basketball's a popular sport. It's like, you know, in every country or every, you know, like it's like in the U.S. for example, if you're in the basketball team or in the football team, you know, that's pretty much like. That guarantees you something, right?
Especially basketball, because it's a much smaller team than a football team.
That's true.
You know, like the basketball team's pretty popular, I would
say. Yeah. In my high school, it was very popular either.
You were fucking cool, dude.
Yeah, man.
At my high school, the soccer team, the football team was actually the more popular. And
but I'm saying like still you're still part of like, I mean, to still be in the basketball team, just. Like, I'm not saying that you're not like a nerd.
Yeah,
like, you're a full nerd.
Okay,
I'm not
it's funny
like,
that we're discussing this because, no, but that could be a thing that a nerdy person, like, clings to. Like, some people, sometimes somebody who is more studious.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you want to make the sports team or you want to make the cheerleading squad because you think that'll give you some cool points. But in the end,
is that what you did?
Still,
you didn't ever like playing basketball?
Oh, I love playing basketball.
All right,
but it
so
didn't,
you didn't
make
do
me
it.
Cool. You know, it's not the
wait. Were
ticket.
You were you the water boy?
No, definitely. No,
but did you ever get any playing time? That's another thing too. Like if you were just riding the bench, then
I played a lot. Yeah,
I was starting?
Yeah, I was a starter.
Yeah, so
in grade 12.
So you're fine. You're in like a full nerd, man.
I think the idea that you have is more more of a TV idea of what the basketball team.
I mean, have you ever seen the movie Hoosiers? Have you seen the movie Hoosiers?
Yeah.
Remember,
yeah.
like, This is what I feel like. You remember, like, in the whole team, like, the little shorts and everything? I think if that was you, then I get, like, why you're saying that you were a little bit of a nerd. Is that how you dressed up, like, in the, like, with the short?
Yes, we were in the 60s. That's what.
And you were shooting 90s, like this, right?
All right. Well, I don't know how to explain it to you, Francisco, but people who jocks aren't necessarily all cool, you know?
No,
the quarterback is, you know, maybe the team captain in certain other sports.
Like,
stereotype exists.
Like, let's look at
But you're rounding out the team with a lot of people who can still be skilled athletes.
Let's look at right now what aren't studs. With professional sports. Right now, I guess, like, the coolest quarterback could be what, you know, I mean, he's older now, but it's Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes in football. You know, in basketball, right. what's the coolest? LeBron. Ja Morant, they're cool, you know, like, so like...
Ja Morant is so damn cool.
Right? He's just cool.
Ja Morant, reminds me of Jordan.
I think Tony got a boner when he said that. He's like, oh, Ja Morant.
He's so good.
Yeah, he reminds me of Jordan.
He's like, but then who's a nerdy guy that, like you in the NBA, for example, right?
I guess... Well,
Austin Reeves?
I don't know. I can't list them. I don't know everybody. I don't know all the athletes' hobbies and habits.
And like Judd Butler? You're like a Judd.
I don't think I can explain this to you. But, you know, athletes have curfews and stuff, Francisco. I think your idea of it is very different.
But within
you're either
a team.
All the way to Hoosiers or you're LeBron James. There's no between for Francisco.
That's what I'm saying. Between a team, there's like the cool people on the team and then the nerds. So which one are you?
We had a guy on our basketball team. Here, I'll give this will fuel you. We had a guy on our basketball team who was a full blown Christian, like really, I don't know, probably a sect of Christianity that I don't even understand.
Yeah.
Sometimes he couldn't even come to practices and stuff. He was definitely our 12th most popular guy on our 12-man team. He was definitely super nerdy.
Okay.
He was always reading the Bible on the bus and all that kind of stuff. So we did have that guy.
So it is Hoosier, because remember...
But you weren't that guy.
I was not that guy.
So which one were you?
I was somewhere in the 11th? Middle, you know? Well, to be honest...
He wasn't 11.
We started talking about pilots.
Yes,
and now I'm just trying to. I've been waiting. So you're six.
I've been waiting to bring it back to the pilot.
Yeah,
we've got
about 7 minutes to bring
you're
it back.
You were a six man.
No. I was a starter, but we were definitely studious. We were studious. No basketball players are studious in Francisco's mind. Like, I was very good at math as well.
I mean, this seems like what the only thing that this makes me think is like, you probably guys suck as a team.
No, we were really good.
I think the thing is here that basically Francisco just thinks if you're on the basketball team, regardless,
you're super cool.
That you must be cool. That you must be popular, which is not far off, maybe. But there are also definitely some geeks, you know, some doofuses on the team that are not considered very cool.
Unless in that school, like you said, basketball wasn't cool and soccer was the most popular team.
I think we have different gauges for what cool is. Because I'm just like, because I even know, like, my parents billet hockey players, like major junior hockey players. So professional young athletes and stuff, they've been staying with my parents. But they have curfews and they're boring as fuck. Well, so they might be cool to greater society or to somebody who, like, looks up to athletes or something like that. But they're not fun, and they don't have great, like, ebullient personalities and stuff. They're not the cool people.
Well, but going back to what we were saying, I think talking about the pilots and stuff like that, I think that's actually what you said is true. It's like cool and nerd, it's subjective. You know, it's whatever that person wants, you know, like however you see it. You know what I mean? It's however people want to give them, whoever's cool, whatever. You know, I don't think there's a ratio. My own thing that I was saying before is, like, I feel like just be yourself. To me, that's what cool really is.
Right.
Being who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. For example, like, I have friends who growing up were like, they were just like easy to like talk to girls. You know, it was like natural. They didn't give a shit. Ever since I was born, I was never being the person who could just like have like game. I have to like get the girl to like me or have some interest, and then I can just talk to them.
Which is a comedian's skill.
But I can't just get going like they're friends that are just going like cold. and just get them to laugh. And I'm like, how do you do that? So like,
right.
That's what I mean. Example of like, if I'm trying to do that, that's me not being cool because that's not who I am. I'm more of like a chill kind of maybe shy at the beginning first kind of thing, you know?
Right.
So that's what I was trying to say. And so I think it's
fair
like
enough.
Cool and nerd. It all varies.
Yeah.
You know, because it's what, like you said, it's whoever's seen it or whatever group of people have seen it. That's what gives that person that cool factor or that nerd factor. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, I guess going from nerd to cool when you have to hide out. So like doctors, doctors, comedians, magicians, like you name it, these skills where you don't get to socialize with women and stuff and, you know, you don't get that side of your life because you got to hide away and have a less of a social life, often because, you know, your peers give you less of a social life because they don't want to hang out with you. So that's where you learn those skills. Whereas other things you can just, you know, you're always cool. You're always talking to people. You're always socializing.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But yeah, we were, I could never be a pilot or a doctor. I'm glad I hid in comedy clubs to learn my skills.
That going back to what we're talking about, like if I'm on a plane and I see you as a pilot, I'm turning back. I'm like, yeah, this guy.
I appreciate that.
Like how you look right now with like your hat and your hair like that. I'd be like, yeah, I'm good.
Especially if I showed up to fly like this. Guys,
I'm imagining you with the suit on. But also with the MTV hat.
Or even with the ponytail. I'd
guys,
be like,
welcome to the 18 to 30s flight to Amsterdam. Here we go. Drop your edibles now. We'll be hitting 40,000 feet.
Shit.
And there will be some turbulence, but not because of the weather. Strap in. We've got Yolanda and Jennifer taking care of you back there. They will be dancing once we hit 40,000 feet. Here we go.
That actually looks that looks more like a pilot of like a Disney ride or something. Like I feel like you were just like, all right, guys, just remember, you guys ready to go into the Haunted Mansion?
100%.
Like a theme park. Like I was like, I'll take that. I like that.
I'm the airline version of Jungle Cruise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know. We went so far away from that. What were we talking about before?
That was the whole thing about getting the people are going to get their money back.
Oh, yeah.
For their refunds.
You were saying, but and all the stuff in flight didn't happen.
Oh, no.
Except for that they hook up.
Well, no,
he
said a pilot says that like all the flying that he did that to try to get the plane so it didn't crash. That's BS. Like that would have never happened in real life.
But he literally throws the morals of stewardesses and airline staff under the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, table. I mean...
They're all fucking...
By the way, I love that. I love that movie where, I love the cameo that John Goodman does in that movie. Because, he plays his dealer.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. He just comes in. He's like just a great... he's such a great actor. Like, he's, like, picks that character and, like, he's got the stuff. He's like, come on, baby, I got it. You know, it's like...
yeah.
It's so good. I like that. But yeah.
He's like, they're not going to repay me for these hotel flights that I missed. God damn it.
I still remember the sex scene. So, or it's not even a sex scene.
They just wake
it's
up.
It's not a sex scene.
They just wake up.
She's just waking up, walking around the apartment. And I was like, it's the woman from My Name is Earl.
Why are you so obsessed with that?
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
She's, even though I can't now recall her.
What's her name?
So that's not.
Something Presley.
No, that's not.
No, that's the blonde.
No, that's the blonde one. He's talking about the I think she's Latin, right?
I'd say she's Latino.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, yeah.
If I'm...
Rivera? Garvera?
What'd you say?
Sofia Garvera?
No, that's Sofia Vergara's in Modern Family.
Oh, okay.
Also beautiful.
I'm in love with all of them.
Yes, we love women.
Let's just look here
as
quickly.
Good nerds would. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because you're. But then, I think we can talk about that in another episode before you go to
Asia.
Asia.
I mean, technically, I'm probably in Asia right now. While we're airing this episode.
Well, that's good.
Because we're taping this before I leave, aren't we? So
yeah. I was gonna just write in like the cast of that lady. I'm
lots of weird paperwork.
Nadine Velasquez.
Okay. Nadine Velasquez. I don't think I am. Maybe I never knew her name then. Yeah. She's beautiful.
Yeah, that's your style?
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah, we've pretty. Discussed this before because, of course, your fiance is
yeah, because is white. Which makes sense.
We're reverse racist, you and I.
No, it's not. It's not. It's opposites. Opposites attract. That's not right. It's just, why would you like the same thing that you look like? I mean, would you go out with somebody that look like you? You know, hell no.
Well, I mean, I do also have those crushes, too, so.
Yeah, but most of the time you lean the other...
Shaggy women?
Yeah, that's true. You know what? My type of woman is the kind who likes a shaggy man. That's my type of woman.
Well, this is a nice, quick, short punch for you guys, a little episode. But remember to...
Actually, let's talk quickly about who we got coming up for our next episode. Because we're going to try something new. Yeah. And so I'm excited to do this. We're going to have a fitness instructor on who works at the gym that I go to here. And because we've discussed it in the past, and I thought we have a shot to do this. Because I have terrible habits when I'm on the road for stretching and staying fit. I don't know how you do, but there was one sweet spot in my career where I think I was getting fit every day and going down to the hotel gym. And I was just in a zone for it. But I find it really hard to find the motivation to even just do a little workout in your hotel room before you go in. Mm-hmm. So we're having, her name is Liddy. She's going to come in and we're going to just talk about maybe staying fit and having some discipline to stay fit on the road.
That'd be great.
How do you do with that?
I'm good at it because of my surgery stuff. So now I make it a priority to do all that stuff. But I definitely always down to learn more and discuss that more. So I'm very excited for it. So
when you had your surgeries, did you have to did you put in a lot of road work or did you just stay off the road?
No. I mean, obviously I couldn't do it because of the surgery.
Yeah.
You know, so eventually, but when I started, but now that ever since it started now, I make it a priority of stretching and staying fit and doing stuff. You know, I can, it became a habit now. It's part of my life now. So I definitely before that I wasn't doing anything because obviously I was younger, I guess, too. And you don't realize that you have to do stuff. But now that I'm older and now that I have that surgery thing and all that stuff, I realize how important it is to stay fit and stretch and all that stuff.
Yeah. So when you wake up in a hotel room, do you the floor, do a little?
No, well, I go. No, I go to the gym, to warm up, and then I stretch.
Oh, if the hotel doesn't have,
and then I stretch.
You go for a walk,
and then I stretch in the room.
Okay,
and then that's before I do anything.
Yeah,
and then maybe if I have time, I'll do it before the show starts.
Yeah,
you know.
That's good discipline. I've been missing that for
years. Do it all the time. It's just, and now I need it. I feel weird if I don't.
100% need it. Yeah. I always tell myself too, because when I do the shows with Jim Jefferies, for example, if he's on stage, he does a 90-minute show, and I always tell myself that's when I'll get some good stretching and exercise in, and I do maybe a little bit before I go on stage.
Yeah,
but I tell myself that, and then Jim Jefferies is on stage for 90 minutes and I'm just drinking in the green room and watching the basketball game or whatever.
It's weird to do it there too. I think it's a thing that you have to do it. To me, I do use it also as part of meditation, part of myself kind of thing. It's a thing that I don't want to, this is a thing that I don't do in the public. I want to do it on my own, by myself,
Yeah. So I'm excited to we get some tips and stuff. So her name is Liddy Salinas.
So listen to the next episode. As always, please subscribe. Please follow us on Instagram. Please follow us on YouTube. And remember to send us messages as well. And, comments and everything.
You got any travel nightmare stories, let us know.
And see us in the road. Always check us our personal social medias because we always... going on the road so we can meet us live.
Yeah, come on out.
All right. Bye, Alou.